All right, guys, we'll get going here, and we'll just welcome people as they come in. We can give them an ovation or something as they roll in here. But my name's Rich Thatcher. I'm a pastor at a Parker Firehouse Church in Parker, Colorado. Been pastoring for 23 years now. So, and I'm just hoping to share with you a few things that God's been stirring my heart with, a few verses. I thought it was interesting timing as I was preparing for this this message. I've got to cross paths with a guy some of you might know, wrote a book called Biblical Eldership. His name is Alexander Strauch. And he's been helping out a church kind of in my neighborhood. And so I sat down with him, and he's training them on biblical eldership. And I asked if I could sit in on the training. And so one of the first sessions I sat in on one was about the desire to aspire as elders. And so he's doing a revision of his book here. You might see it coming out here soon. I'm not sure if it's released, but he's got the old school one you guys probably have seen before, but it's just been something that God's put on my heart. I've got a few things that I want to share with you just that I think be good for us to know. Then a few practical action steps, and we should be good to go. It shouldn't take too long here. But anyways, let these guys get set up here. I'll go ahead and pray. We've got a few more coming in. All right, nice.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, it is a long walk. I know. And once you're here, you got to find where you're going, too. So, but let's see here. As we're getting set up, recognize where a few people are from here. We got El Paso guys, Salt Lake City. We got some LA guys here. Yeah, LA as well. Some Omaha. Omaha. Are you Omaha as well?
Phoenix.
What is that? Phoenix? Okay. How about you guys in the back? Where are you guys from?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. Nice. Good. Got some Manhattan peeps here. Got Chad. I saw John around here. You guys are from?
Loveland.
Okay, very good. Awesome, guys. Good. Salt Lake City? Nice. Where are you guys from? You look familiar, yeah. That's good. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll jump in. You know, if you got a Bible handy, one of the verses we're going to be looking at here a bit is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. So you can pull that up on a phone or something, have that ready to roll here. But I'll pray and we'll jump into it. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this faith camp here. Thank you for all that you've been teaching us. God, I pray that you would help us just have ears to hear from you this afternoon. God, it's been a full day already. I think if people are like me, are tired and hot, then I just ask that in spite of all that, Lord, that you would speak, and not only that you would speak, but that we would listen. Lord, I'm going to share some verses. Your word's going to go out, but I pray it would land on soft soil. God, I pray you'd stir hearts here with what we're going to talk about. I pray you might even light a few fires for carrying out your will and meeting the need of the hour, really, I think. But just ask for your grace in all this, Lord. I pray you'd speak through me and accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know, one verse I just want to start off with is it's one that I think of on this subject and the need that we have for the New Testament church in America, the New Testament church in the world, I think. But you might know this verse, Ezekiel 22:30. It's a classic one here, but it says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. You know, and you know, I think of Ezekiel's time, the Lord's looking, he's trying to find, you know, you think of the walls are a form of protection, and the walls get breached, and guys need to step up, and they need to stand in, and they need to turn the battle back in the gaps there. And the Lord at the time, through Ezekiel, was saying, I don't have anyone to fill in the gaps, I don't have anyone to stand up. And thankfully, I think we're not at that place where, in our day and age, that we don't have anyone. We have guys, but I think the need is greater than we realize for what you guys might be here. Really, the first thing I'm going to share with you, the need is, I'm going to put it like this. You can just write this down. But I think the greatest need, and this is my thoughts, this is what God's put on my heart, greatest need of the New Testament church in our time is new/young. Some may be young, some may be new, but new/young, biblically qualified pastoral leaders. I think we need some new, young, biblically qualified pastoral leaders. I think that's what the New Testament church needs here. And, you know, in one sense, we need that just in general. You know, the idea of passing the baton to the next generation. We're a part of a movement of churches and associations that's been around for a while. And there's guys that have been doing what I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing this for 23 years. There's guys in this room been doing it longer than me. And there's guys being raised up. And I know recently there's been some elders raised up in some new churches. But I think that, I just think we need to know there is a need. Again, there's a need for new, young leaders. Young, I don't know exactly what young means. I think if you're younger than me, you're young. I don't know. And if you're a first-time leader in a pastoral way, maybe you're new. So I think you all qualify here, new or young. But, you know, the other thing I think about is that there's a need for leaders. That's kind of that's always been the case. We want the next generation of Timothys to step up here. But the other thing I think about is that in our day and age when our world is falling apart, you know, at increasingly faster speeds here, our culture's falling apart. People are, you know, it used to be the battle was about, you know, marriage, whether marriage is right or wrong. Now the battle lines have been pushed way beyond whether or not, you know, you should honor God's design for marriage. And we're living in a world where, you know, people speculate, when is persecution going to break out in the church in America? When is going to break out? Is it going to happen in our generation? Is the Lord going to return in our generation? Now, there's all these questions here. But one of the things that I think we can learn from history is that when persecution breaks out, you know what they do? What history has showed us? What happens to the church? The first people, who are the first people to go when persecution hits?
Pastors.
They take out pastors. They take out leaders. They say, we'll take these guys. We'll imprison these guys. And then what happens?
Well, the pastors have to step up.
Someone has to step up. And in many cases, in this world, if you can imagine your church being stripped of its pastoral leadership, and yet there's hundreds of people that need to be shepherded, who's going to step up? Well, I would say it's going to be guys like you stepping up to meet the need. And you know, guys are going to step up, but at some point, they've got to be guys who are biblically qualified, guys who have a heart for the work, guys who have a desire to serve in this capacity. And so, really, that's what we want to talk about. But the need, I think the need's great. I think the need's going to get greater and greater. If you read some of the passages on what happens, Romans 1, some of you have gone through that recently in a one-year Bible, but it just talks about how God is really judging, and he gives them over to this, and he gives them over to this. And next thing you know, we're looking at... I was just thinking about this is the world we're going to be pastoring more and more if we aren't already. It says Romans 1:28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. You know, they invent new ways of sinning. You know, and this is talking about a culture that was under God's judgment, under God's wrath. I think this is going on right now. And as guys step up to lead, you're going to be leading in an increasingly sinful and broken world. And this role, this responsibility is going to be even greater here. The next thing I want to share with you is just, it is in line here with 1 Timothy 3:1. I just want to read this verse. We're going to look at this a bit this afternoon here, but I'm reading from the NIV 1984 authorized version. Some of you, I don't know what version of the Bible you read. I like NIV 1984 here. Fairly literal, fairly readable. Says this, here's a trustworthy saying. Guys, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Read it one more time. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. One of the things I just want to have you write down here is that I think people need to know. I think people in our churches, I think you might need to know that leading and shepherding God's people in the local church is a noble work. Leading and shepherding God's people in the local church is a noble work. Sometimes you think about careers and vocations and you think about things that are honorable. You know, what comes to mind naturally? You think about, oh man, they do that? Well, that's... there's an honor to them. What are things you guys think about? Honorable vocations, callings.
Firefighter.
Firefighter, absolutely. They lay down their lives. Other ones.
Military.
Military, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you name it. There's an honor to that. Most people go, thank you for doing that. Thank you for serving in that capacity. Someone you don't even know off the street, you go, thank you. What are some other things that are honored in our culture?
Nurses.
Yeah, nurses, doctors, the medical field.
Used to be dads.
Dads used to be honored. There you go. I think about even owning your own business is an honorable thing. But a lot of times when you think about what sort of vocation is honored, those things come to mind first. The military, people will go up, thank you for serving, and I get that. That's very important. When's the last time someone just went up randomly and said, thank you for being a pastor? It's honorable in God's eyes. But some reason, the Apostle Paul, prompted by the Holy Spirit, wanted people to know, hey guys, here's something to take note of. I think it's five times this phrase is used as, here's a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance, I think several of them say. But here's something you need to know. Here's something trustworthy. Here's something tried and true. Here's something to bring to your attention, man. And what did he want to bring to their attention? Well, it goes on to say there, you know, really, you could put it like this, that the work of pastoral oversight is a noble thing. Noble thing, the Greek word noble means good. It can mean other things like honorable, excellent, a right thing. This idea to serve the work, to aspire, to desire the work of an overseer is a good thing. It's a noble thing. It's an honorable, it's even a praiseworthy thing. And I think we need to catch that. It's God, you know, out of all the vocations, he could have said, hey, you know, we've got dear Dr. Luke here. Luke is caring for human beings. He's a doctor. That is really noble. He's a dear doctor. But he says, I want you guys to know this, shepherding, overseeing God's church, that's a noble thing. It's a good thing. It's praiseworthy. And I hope we catch that and pass that on to others. I hope you in this room, you know, my hope was just maybe a couple of you would go, yeah, I think it's noble. And go on to follow the rest of the verse here. You know, he says, so this one, I think just knowing that it is a noble thing. The other thing, you know, when it comes to the work of an overseer, two parts of it, there's kind of God's part to raising up overseers and shepherds. And I use these words interchangeably. If you've ever done that, any of you ever studied the biblical eldership book, Alexander Strauch? One of the things I love about it is he makes a real clear case that the idea of an overseer, the idea of an elder, the work of shepherding, they're used several places kind of to speak to the same office. There, you know, at one point he calls, Acts 20, he calls together the elders, all the elders together, and he tells them to be overseers of what the Holy Spirit's made them overseers, and to be shepherds. And he speaks to the elders to be overseers and shepherds. And 1 Peter, same thing. He's talking to elders about shepherding, doing the work of shepherding, and these words are kind of interchangeable. So don't, if you get confused on that, I don't know if it's Alexander Strauch in his book here, but he talks about, you know, if you emphasize one of the words, like a overseer really is where we get the word bishop from, episkopos. And you guys know any denomination related to episkopos? Episcopalian, you know? I was brought up Episcopalian, but they overemphasize this one word, and they have this huge hierarchy system built upon the episkopos, the bishop hierarchy. And then there's another one that's, you know, talks about elders. The Greek word elders is presbyteroi. Presbyteroi, you could probably pronounce that better. Does anyone know what it sounds like? Presbyterian. Emphasis on this board of elders and the work of the elders. And so these guys have kind of taken separate things, and they, you know, you have this whole board that manages this, or you have this whole hierarchy here, but it seems like they're talking about the same office. The office of an overseer is also an elder. Elder speaks to spiritual maturity. Oversight speaks to management, overseeing the church. Shepherding speaks to shepherding, you know, speaks to feeding, leading, caring for the flock. And so it's good to know, it's great to check out Acts chapter 20 and see that's there. 1 Peter chapter 5, first five verses will help you see that. But anyways, we just need to know there's a man's part, there's a God's part. We're going to talk a little about the man's part of the deal here. Again, I want to go back to this verse here. It says, here's a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer. NAS says anyone aspires. Greek word, the Greek meaning on that is it's to aspire, it's to reach after, it's to yearn for, to long for. There's an idea. If any man sets his heart, if he reaches out for it, if he longs for it, he desires a noble work. And we need to know. But the part that I love about this myself is it says, if any man sets his heart. There's a part that you play in this. There's a God part, we'll talk about that, but there's a human part. Are you one who would set your heart, reach out to, long for, aspire to this? Because Paul says, that's a noble work you're aspiring to, and you got to set your heart. And I don't know about you, when I was a young follower of Christ, I don't know if I heard it in the teaching or read it in my Bible, but that idea of, I knew my pastors, I knew my elders, and I thought, these dudes are awesome. These dudes are, I respect them. God's using them. I want to be used like that. And so when it says, hey, if any man sets his heart to desire that work, that's a noble desire. And I was like, that means I can set my heart on this. Lord, I set my heart. I want this. And I started praying about it, but you can set your heart on it. And the Holy Spirit works in that together with you, but there is something about, there's a godly ambition in setting your heart to desire this work. Now, we also have to beware of, you know, think of the other place, Jeremiah 45. He's, you know, talking to a guy there, it was a Baruch. He says, you know, should you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. You know, there's, we want to avoid selfish ambition, but there's something about wanting to set your heart to sacrifice your life to care for and shepherd God's people. There's something about that that's noble. Something that Paul says, hey, Timothy. Timothy is a young leader, a lot like some of you guys, a young pastor. And hey, just I want you to know this. I want you to take note. Here's something you can count on. Here's something tried and true. But if you set your heart on this, it's a noble work you desire. But there's man's part. That, you know, the point I would just say is you can be one who sets his heart on this work. You can be one who says, I've set, my heart is on it. You know, the other part's going to be God's part here, but I want you to know you have a part to play in this. And just know that. That's something we need to know. The next thing we need to know is, you know, there's obviously God's part to this. One of my favorite passages on this subject of overseeing and shepherding God's church here is Acts 20:28. You know this one. It says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You know, there's that, the line in there is very clear. You know, he's telling you, keep watch over yourselves, over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit does a work in a man's life to oversee, to shepherd, to provide pastoral leadership for his flock. And so there, God has a part in that. And God works together, I think, with the heart of man. There's a human part to that. And another verse you guys might know on this one, this is one that resonated with my heart back in the days, but Psalm 75:6 and 7, no one for the east or the west can exalt a man. I think some versions say no one can promote a man, but it's God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. God raises one man up and he sets another man down, and it's God that does this type of work. And we need to know, only God, the line I would give you here, only God can properly bring this about in your life, this fulfilling the desire to do the work of an overseer here. So those are really four things I want you to catch here just initially is, again, know there's a great need for the next generation of Timothys, for young, biblically qualified leaders. And we need to know that it's a noble work. God wants you and I to know this is noble, it's honorable, it's an excellent work to desire, and it is work. We need to know there's man's part in this. You can set your heart. One of my favorite quotes on this I want to share with you, that you can set your heart, you can have the desire. Not only, I would say this, not only can you set your heart to have the desire, I would say the desire is a requirement for this task. Here, Alexander Strauch puts it like this. I love this. He says this, shepherding God's people through this sin-weary world is far too difficult a task, fraught with too many problems, dangers, and demands to be entrusted to someone who lacks the will or desire to do the work. You catch that? If you don't have the desire for this, you know, you're going to be, like some of the other verses, not doing it. You're compelled. You're doing it because some other reason here. But one more time, I just want to share this with you. Shepherding God's people through this sin-weary world is far too difficult a task, fraught with too many problems, dangers, and demands to be entrusted to someone who lacks the will and desire to do the work. It's been a hard last couple years pastoring through COVID and some of the things that happened, but as I've worked through that, it's been really refining. But I was reminded, you know what? This is a noble work that I'm given to do. This is a noble task I've been given. It's a good reminder, but it's also good for prospective elders to go, you know what? This is a noble work to have the desire for, and maybe ask God for the desire for. We'll get to some practicals here, but that I just want to give you four kind of practical steps. Those are things I feel like we need to know about the need here. But I want to give you four practical steps that you can take. First one, maybe obvious. Pray about it. Pray about it, especially you young leader guys. Pray about it. I'd say this. Ask God if he would want you to serve. Ask if he'd want you to serve as an elder, an oversteer, help shepherding his flock. I encourage you to pray about it. You know, I think of Jesus saying, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Seek it out. See if God would have that for you. I know for me, I began to pray and seek it out, and I was like, this is my heart's desire. But you need to ask, because you got to work together with the Lord. But maybe you already have that desire, and I would encourage you to go, Lord, if this is from you, would you work this out in me? Again, pray about it, to get that desire or to see what's to do next on that first step. Second step I'd give you, and this one's, you guys all know this in many ways. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Choir's got a lot of beard and hairs and stuff like that. But next one is, I'd say, get fat. You guys know the acronym FAT? If you would maybe want to serve the Lord in this type of capacity, get fat. What does FAT stand for? We all know.
Faithful
available, teachable. Number of different ministries use it. It comes from a verse we also probably all know as well, 2 Timothy 2:2. Things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to these faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, F, faithful. Are you a faithful man? Do you say what you mean and mean what you say? You follow through. Are you faithful to the Lord? That's a key component that's going to be needed here. Available. Are you available? God's looking for men to step up, men to he can help out and help train. And are you available? Maybe you are. And then there's teachable. Are you teachable? We're going to talk about each of these facets. Sometimes we used to throw them back in the day an S instead of get fat. How about get fast? S for submitted, submissive. Think of 1 Peter 5:5, where he says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Context there is even elders. Some versions say, be subject to your elders. Are you a submitted man? Be faithful, available, submitted, teachable. If you would want to maybe be used by God in this capacity. For me, I just a couple stories on this. I remember a time I got saved. I'm going to church, and some of you church there, and got Josh and some of the other guys there. But I remember a pastor started meeting with me, and he was also my small group leader, and he'd set up times. He'd swing by my house. We'd grab coffee in the morning and on his way into work. And at one point, we were walking around. He took me on a walk around the mall in Fort Collins. There was the Fort Collins Foothill Fashion Mall. And I don't know if they have it or not, but it was inside mall. And so we're just walking, doing laps there. And, you know, I didn't know what he was doing. I thought, we're walking, we're talking, we're praying. But he was kind of giving me a pitch. He said, you know, our church here, some of you, we're looking for some men who want to change the world. We're looking for some faithful, available, and teachable men. Rich, would you like to be one of these guys? And I was like, wow, I never had anyone kind of make me think that big, a dream, like, I'm going to reach the world, I'm going to change the world. And he's like, we're looking for the faithful, available, and teachable men. What do you think? And I thought about it, and immediately one of those jumped out at me, available. And I just said, you know, I'd love to. I'd really love to. I'm just not available right now. I was a young working professional. I had a good engineering job or mouseketeering job, whatever they call those software engineering jobs. But but at the same time, I bumped into a couple of guys that were young and dreaming guys that wanted to make a lot of money. And they told me, hey, Rich, you can make your first $1 million in 3 to 5 years if you do what we tell you to do here. They were making a lot of money. I was voted in high school as most likely to succeed, you know. And so I was thinking, geez, I got a good engineering job and I'm single and that's great, but that's not millions of dollars here. These guys are making millions. And so I was busy all the time. I was going to rallies. Talking about Amway here. I don't know if any of you guys knew these Amway rallies. I was going listening to motivational speakers. I was reading all these books, but I didn't have time to spend with my small group or with my pastor who wanted to invest in me. And eventually, great motivation. I learned some things, how to win friends and influence people and the power of positive thinking. It's an excellent book that some of you might like, some of you might not. It's it's a motivational book. You know it if you heard of it. But anyways, at one point, though, I'm putting a lot of time, a lot of heart. I'm talking to everyone about this plan of how they can make their million, too. Well, I haven't even got my first check on it, but I'll tell you how to make your millions. But eventually, I worked at Hewlett Packard as a software engineer, and had a boss that just said, "Hey, Rich, you know, boy, it sure seems like you got a great business plan there. Seems like you can make a lot of money here. But, you know, we also pay you a lot of money, and you kind of probably got to decide. You want to make your millions, or you want to keep your pretty good salary?" And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I thought, you know what? Millions is great, but I got a good job here, and maybe I shouldn't take that for granted. And they had some things at my work where I was working for a mechanical engineer. They switched me over to working for a software engineer and started moving up the ladder and progressing and getting more successful there. And I also told my pastor, "Hey, I'm a little more available now. I want to start meeting again." And he began meeting with me again and began helping me grow in some things there. But availability was an issue. And I don't know, when you look at your life, when you got to think about, are you a faithful man? Are you available? Are you teachable? Or do you know it all already? Are you submissive? Are you a submitted guy? Subject to your elders? And is there something that stands out there to you? You have to figure out. For me, you know, it continued to progress some of these things. God led me on a journey. I know at one point I started helping. I was an apprentice on a small group. And pastors came to me and said, "Hey, we're inviting some of these guys, Josh and some of these other guys, to start joining our leadership training class. And it starts in the fall here. We'd love to have you join us. What do you think?" And I was thinking, "Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm hungry. I want to grow." And then I was also thinking, my HP basketball league is on Tuesday nights also. And they really like me. My role on the basketball team was to shoot the ball. I love to shoot the ball. And yet I had to make a decision. I can't do both. I can't aspire in leadership and be the shooting guard of my basketball team. And so I told those guys, "Guys, I love to play, but I'm busy on Tuesday nights and I can't play." And God began to continue to grow me there. But again, action step, get fast, get fat, whatever you want to do. If you want to grow in this, think about those things and what might be slowing you up. The other thing I'd say here, and again, this is obvious one, an action step to take to figure out if this is what God has for you or to work it out. Serve in your church in any way that's needed. You know, maybe pretty obvious. Serve in your church in any way that's needed. Sometimes we gravitate towards the cool things to do, the band or sharing the word. I'll serve if I can share the word with people, or if I can, you know, lead something. You put me in charge, I'll serve. But if you have an attitude to serve in any way that's needed, you know, a couple verses I think of about this, 1 Corinthians 4:5, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake." You want to serve in your church in any way that's needed, I guarantee you, there's some work for you to do. You don't have to ask that question too many times without finding an answer. Other verses, you know, for me, this started off, I remember the first time we were doing an outreach on Colorado State with our new group back in 1996, and they asked if I would share my testimony. You know, I didn't even know what a testimony was. I was excited about Jesus and how he saved me, and they said, 3 to 5 minutes, why don't you just get out there in front of this crowd? They had a concert, put you out there and you share. And okay, I'll do it. And I got out there and shared, and the Holy Spirit gave me the words to say, and that first time I ever shared my testimony publicly. No training, no anything, just I'll do whatever's needed here. And another time they said, "Hey, this small group's growing, it's multiplying, they need an apprentice. Would you help this guy lead this?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'll help out." And eventually the small group got too big, and they're like, would you lead this small group for us?" I'm like, "Sure, I mean, I'll do whatever's needed here. I'd love to." Eventually, as things kept growing and our church kept growing, my pastors asked, "Hey, would you be willing to leave your job, your engineering job, to go raise your own support to work full-time for the church?" And I thought, I mean, I prayed about it. I got counsel. One of the verses I feel like the Lord gave me is confirming leaving my lucrative engineering job. It was lucrative back in the 90s for a single guy. But one of the verses God gave me was this one, 1 Corinthians 9:19. "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." And I thought about, you know what? If I'm full-time on staff with my church, I'm going to be a slave to everybody. Hey, whatever you need, I'll do. And my heart was, let's do that. Yes, yes, let's do this. And God continued to use me at serving that way. Eventually, I became the guy at our church who had the keys. I had the keys to pretty much anything. Mostly it was like the janitor type of stuff. But we met at a high school, a large high school in Fort Collins High School. And every time we met, whether Saturday night or Sunday morning, we had to inspect it and make sure it was clean and make sure nothing was damaged and lock it up. And, you know, I just wanted to serve in any way I could. And I was the janitor. We had a, back in the days in the Rock, we had the Rock college group was growing and growing, and we had a special setup for the Rock. We had bought this old, or maybe someone gave us this old Dodge van, really old, really gray. We got it street worthy. We used a few additives to pass some emissions tests and stuff like that. But my job was driving the van and getting all the equipment and driving it weekly and parking it. And it was not glamorous or glorious, but I was going to serve in any way that was needed. And then God would give me other opportunities, maybe to share the word here or share a quiet time thought there, but just continued to work and to work. And eventually, elders asked that, you know, they asked if I'd be willing to serve and step up and have the faith to serve as an elder, as an overseer. Me, you know, this punky little guy that got saved 4 years ago, be serving with John Meyer, you know, can be serving with some of the others that were there, Greg Richards and Steve Bush, some of those guys. And I feel like, I'm going to serve in any way I can. Yeah, this is my heart's desire. I want to do this. And God just continued. But, you know, I just encourage you, if this is something that you might aspire to serve and shepherd and lead God's people, keep serving in any way you can. And I know you guys do that, but sometimes we also have to be careful. There's ways we like to serve, and there's ways we don't like to serve. And even as an elder, there's things I like to do and don't like to do. But my heart has always been, Lord, I'll serve in any way I can. I'll serve your people and encourage you. Serving your church any way you can. And last thing I just say on action steps about this whole subject is just walk in faith. It's going to require faith. You know, if there's your part and there's God's part, I'd say when it comes to desiring the work of an elder, an overseer, walk in faith and let God work out the details for you. Walk in faith and let God work out the details. Again, we know, I just shared it in another seminar, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants us to be trusting him. He wants us to know that he exists, but that he rewards, he responds to those who seek him. And so he wants us to be walking in faith with him. One of the verses I started claiming early on as a new believer for a number of things, but especially related to serving as a pastor, is, you know this one, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And this is a verse I heard at church a lot. This is one that I was... John Meyer preached it a lot, I think, but I just thought, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Early on in my following of Christ, I came away with three prayers from that promise. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna take this promise to the bank. You said it, I believe it. I'm gonna apply it. I'm gonna claim it. And three prayers I'd pray was, Lord, pray that you would give me a godly wife and a godly family. And it was my desire to get married and do it a different way. But I was just praying, Lord. I desire, that's my heart's desire, is a godly wife, start a godly family. Another prayer was, Lord, I desire to serve you as an elder, as an overseer. That's my heart's desire. And I'm going to delight in you. I'm going to enjoy serving you, and I'm going to claim this promise. The other one was, Lord, I desire to expend my life in fulfilling the Great Commission. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know what it looks like. But God began to answer, and he gave me a wife, and he allowed me to serve as a elder, and, you know, we're still figuring out, carrying out the Great Commission. But along the way, you know, there's just other verses he gave me as well that, you know, but if you're doing this, you need to be walking in faith. One of the ones he gave me to think about along the way was Psalm 103. It talks about all the different benefits of God. But one of them, Psalm 103:5 says he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I just thought, I have this desire to get married. I have this desire to serve as an elder. And it says right here, he satisfies your desires with good things. Oh, Lord, this is my desire. It says you satisfy. I'm taking this to the bank in my prayers. I'm praying this daily. And other one that came across was, I remember this from a conference one time, but it says Jeremiah 30:21, especially on the subject of being an up-and-coming leader. And it says, Jeremiah 30:21, their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? And I came away with the thought there that it's not me and my effort. Just like my effort doesn't get me to heaven, my effort doesn't get me closer to God. It doesn't get me any of these things here. But God says, I'll bring him near, and then he'll get close to me. Because who is he who's going to do it himself? And I just remember, Lord, I'm applying faith here. I'm serving in any way I can. I'm trying to be faithful, available, and teachable. And Lord, this is my heart's desire. And he worked it out. But I just want to encourage you guys. You know, again, I think the need of the hour here is the next generation of Timothys and possibly guys that are in training so that when persecution hits, you know, I'm always struck by how that happened in Acts. In one day, when Stephen died, in one day, persecution broke loose. It doesn't take ramping up, and we see all the signs and all the signals. It only took one day, and mass chaos broke out throughout the churches there, and guys stepped up because other guys were in prison. Other guys were getting martyred, and I don't know when that's going to happen, guys, but I want you to be ready, and I want to encourage you to set your heart on this desire to serve as an overseer, as a pastor, as an elder, and that's what I wanted to share with you guys here. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll call it a seminar. Yeah, Lord Jesus, God, I just thank you for this time. God, thank you for your word, your encouragement to us. God, thank you that, God, you work in our lives to bring about things that could otherwise never happen. And you're the one who creates and brings about a guy being serving you as an overseer. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, you say, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God, we know the church is precious to you. You want it protected. You want it cared for. You want it managed well. And God, I pray you would set this desire in the hearts of some of the men who are here today. God, I pray for those who serve in this capacity already that they would be reminded this is a noble work. There will be a crown given to those who serve in this capacity from the chief shepherd. And how that will be different than the other crowns, I don't know, Lord, but we trust it'll be good because it's from you. But God, I just pray you'd stir hearts of men here, of others who might hear this message. I pray that we would, back in our own churches, kind of stir hearts and share your word on this, just like Paul encouraged young Timothy, that we would encourage the young Timothys in our world. And we ask for your grace in this. We ask you'd raise up men who could protect the church, which you bought with your blood, especially in difficult times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.